Once again, we are in Psalm number 119 as we continue our study of the longest of the Psalms, Psalm 119, and we are going to read verses 81 through 88 this evening. 81 through 88. Beginning in verse 81, we read, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this evening and as we begin once again to look at this tremendous psalm, we pray for wisdom and for guidance. I pray that your Spirit would bring us before the very throne of the living God, and Father, that we might experience a wonderful blessing at your hand tonight. And as we look at these words, as we examine these verses, I just pray, Father, that we might see what you want us to see here. I pray that you would lift the shadows from our eyes and help our souls to be in context with the living Spirit of God. And we pray, Father, that you would just enlighten us and give us wisdom tonight. I pray, Father, that you would bless greatly. We thank you for these that have come out. We pray for those who could not be with us, those that are working, those that are not well, those that are traveling. And Father, we pray that you would continue to bless and watch over our people. And now, as we come to the Word of God, we ask that you would bless it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been on quite a journey as we've made our way through this psalm, and I don't know if you have thought about it in this way, but actually what we are reading here is an autobiography. The psalmist is giving us an autobiography of his life since he has come to know God and since he has entered into a relationship with God. And so in each one of these sections that deals with one of the letters of the alphabet, what we are seeing is his life put to song. And his life is just like our lives. And if you have ever been around the ocean, and of course you have been, then you know that the tides go in and the tides come out. And they also have lots of different levels in between that high tide and that low tide. And that's the way it is with the life. We have our high tide, we have our low tide, and we have all those levels in between. And that's what we have been reading about, and the relationship that this man has had with God is all of the levels that he has had with God in his lifetime in serving the living God. What we're going to be looking at tonight is the low tide of this psalm. You may have noticed last week that the tone became a little bit darker as there was a cry for help. And this week we are looking at low tide. We're going to be walking on the rocks with the psalmist as he reaches the bottom of his experience with the Lord, and he has come under intense persecution, and his cry for help is heard clearly here. In verse 81 it says, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." Notice that he does not mention the flesh here. "My soul fainteth for thy salvation." It's amazing how much and how many things we can find, how many reasons we can find to stay on this earth. As Christians, we all talk about how much we love the Lord and what a great day it's going to be when we go to be with the Lord, but you've heard that old saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And the flesh can always find an excuse to stay here. For one thing, we know what's on this earth. We have an outline in the Word of God as to what heaven's going to be like. We have an outline in the Word of God as to who Jesus is. And we know these things, but we don't know them as clearly as we know where we are on this earth And so some of us would prefer to stay here. We all want to go to heaven. We just hope that it's not today. And we can find all kinds of excuses and reasons why we need to stay behind. We want to make sure that, you know, we have so much to do, right? We want to make sure that our children, we want to see our children grow up. We want to see our grandchildren grow up. And then we want to see our great-grandchildren grow up. We always find an excuse why we want to stay here. But there comes a time when the flesh says, no, I've had enough. And if you've ever been around someone who is seriously sick and dying, there comes a time, this fight. Everybody fights. Because life is precious, isn't it? Everybody fights. And I've seen it so many times, more times than I care to see, to be honest with you. But people fight for that last breath, that last day, that last moment that they can be with their families. And there comes a time when the fight's gone. And they just say, I've fought enough. I just want to go home now. And that's where we've come to the psalmist here. He has fought, and he is exhausted. He is full of fatigue. He has come to the place in his life where the flesh is no longer desirous to stay on this earth. And so he cries out with his soul, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. I want to go home. I've had enough, Lord. Isn't it funny how when we can ride so many different emotions in our lifetime. We can walk on those high spots and we're just shouting glory, and then that high spot disappears and we can't even see over the pebble in front of us because we're so low. And it seems like our prayers are not being answered. It seems like God has moved away from us. We can't understand why. And we get to that place where we just are so tired of it. If things aren't going to get better, we just want to go home. Now, I probably have felt like that, but obviously you have not. No, we all have, haven't we? And if we haven't, we will. We will. Because that's life. And something was going on in the psalmist's life. Now, well, I've said this many times as I've made my way through this psalm. It would be a wonderful thing if we knew who had written it, whether it was David or Jeremiah or somebody else. But for some reason, God did not want us to know who was writing the psalm. And it could be because God wanted us to see ourselves in this psalm. Not to be reading a life, but to read our own life in the words of the psalmist. And to see the high points and the low points and all of those places in between, the different levels. There's no doubt here that the psalmist has reached a very low point in his life, and he's crying out, my soul fainteth, or has failed for thy salvation. I just want to go home. I am tired of fighting. And yet, even as he's speaking these words, there's a spark of hope. But I hope in thy word. Where does that spark come from? It comes from the heart of a man who knows that God exists. It comes from the heart of a man who knows that he is going to be in heaven when he dies. It comes from the heart of a man who has put his commitment and his life and everything that he has in the hands of the living God. And even though he is ready to go and he's tired of this life, he has every confidence that there is a life beyond, and that that life is a direct result of a relationship that he has with God. And so it is with us. I have stood beside the bed of a man who is dying that does not know Christ. And it's not a pleasant sight. There is so much uncertainty. But I've also stood beside the bed of a man who's dying who knows Christ. And there's always that spark of hope because they know that when that last breath leaves them here, their first breath begins there. It's a whole new life. A whole new beginning. And there's such hope in the heart of those who know God. I hope in thy word. He doubts his strength, but he has all the confidence in the world in the strength of God. Now in verse 82 it says, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? He looks for answers. And he's looking in the word of God. He's been looking in the word of God for so long. He's been seeking. He's been weeping. His eyes ache. They hurt him. Have you ever wept until your eyes were stinging and they smarted and you just couldn't seem to to get through. You couldn't see clearly. And he had searched in the Scriptures, and he had been on his knees before God, and he'd been weeping for the injustices that had come upon him in his life. And he said, "Mine eyes fail for thy word." He's looking for an answer from God. And he's trying desperately to find one. "When wilt thou comfort me? When will you come, Lord, and take these burdens from my shoulders? When will you come and make me aware of your presence? When are you going to let this ease so that I can rest? I am just about to the end of my rope. I don't know where to turn now. And mine eyes are failing. I am looking desperately for an answer, but I find no comfort. I'm tired. When will you come and comfort me?" Have you ever felt like that? There comes a time in our lives when we wonder. And it is a sin to doubt God. And yet, Satan is constantly whispering, "He's not there. He's not listening. He doesn't care." The Word tells us He's there. The Word tells us He's listening. But Satan's always there in the background, trying to rip our feet out from under us and make us fall in the presence of God. And even this great man of God, who writes this beautiful psalm and has set his life to music, comes to that place in his life where he says, "God, when are you going to come and comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes." I am become like a bottle in the smoke. The bottle here that is referred to is a wineskin. And they would hang them up, and if there was no moisture in them, and if it was very dry in the home or in the heat, they would crack, they would split. And he's making a reference here to his eyes. Notice in the previous verse, he said, "Mine eyes fail for thy word." And now in verse 83, he says, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." He said, "My eyes hurt, they sting, they're cracked." And he said, "I can't cry another tear. I'm dried up. I'm like those wineskins that have been sitting too long in the heat and they've just split open and they're useless and they're no good. And that's how I feel. Useless. God, I just want you to let me know that you're still there and comfort me. Yet do I not forget thy statutes." Why? Because the Word of God is full of promises. Wonderful, wonderful promises. And Satan wants us so much to forget those promises. He'll do anything in his power to make us forget what the Word of God says, or to doubt what the Word of God says. And yet the psalmist knows what the Word of God says. He relies on those promises. And yet there's a struggle between the flesh, that part of him that is touched by the persecution that he's facing, the heartache, the worries, the tears, and the fear, and then that part of him that is solidly in the family of God and knows that there is a God and knows that God loves him and knows that God is with him. He just can't figure out why God has been silent during this time. He said, "I have not forgotten thy statutes, but I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Sometimes God has to empty us of all of the flesh before he can fill us with all of the Spirit. And it's a very difficult, difficult thing to go through. And yet, those who allow God to do it, those who just put themselves in God's hands, always come out of that time of testing stronger, filled with faith, and an experience with God that will make them so much stronger in the days to come. Yeah, the bottle was cracked right now, but it would become much stronger. As we see, this is the low point of the psalm, and as we move from this low point and we begin to make our way back up the slope, and we're going to see that God has not gone anywhere. God has always been right there. Verse 84 says, "How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me?" How many more days do I have to endure? How many days before you take me home? or you lift this burden? How much longer do I have to endure the pain, the suffering? And furthermore, when are you going to bring judgment against these people who have hurt me so deeply? One thing that he understood was that God judges sin. If he did not judge sin, he would not be God. God despises sin, and these men had sinned against him, and they had sinned against God. And so he knew the judgment was coming. He doesn't overstep his boundaries before God because he knows the judgment is coming upon these people. He wants to know when it's coming because he knows when the judgment comes, it's going to be lifted off his shoulders. And he is desperately looking for any sign from God that he's reached the end. He doesn't know how much more he can take. How many are the days of thy servant? That's a question that only a desperate man would ask. Because honestly, tonight, how many of you would want to know how many more days you have on this earth? Probably none of us. We would prefer to leave that in God's hands. If we knew that we were going home tomorrow, I can tell you there would be a tremendous change in the way we live today, wouldn't there? But if we also knew we weren't going anywhere for 10 years, it could have a negative impact on how we live tomorrow. And so God doesn't tell us when we're going home. There are times we wish we were there already, and there's times that we would just assume that He would wait a while and give us a little more time. But only God knows when the last heartbeat will tick off, and only God knows when that last day, that last meal with our family, that last time that we will spend together in the church, only God knows these things. And I'm glad that only God knows these things. How many are the days of thy servant? That's the question that only a desperate man would ask. When will you execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. This section, or this sentence, gives us an indication that whoever was bringing the persecution against this man did not look at him as a human being, but more like an animal. Animals are trapped by digging pits. This may have been just an analogy, or it may have been how they trapped him. We don't know. Chances are it was an analogy. But it was an analogy that he uses to give an indication of how low he was in the eyes of those who hated him and who sought his destruction. He said, "The proud have digged pits for me which are not after thy law." One of the things that we find in history is that those who persecuted the Jews, the easiest way that they could get their people to follow them in the persecution of the Jews was to convince them that the Jews were not human beings, that they were more like a parasite that was living on the face of the earth and stealing or taking from the other people. That's what Hitler did, and that's how he turned the German people against the Jewish people. He convinced them that the Jews were an inferior people who were trying to control the banking and the money of the German nation. And he convinced them to the point where they did some very inhumane things to the Jewish people. And they thought nothing of it, because in their eyes, the Jewish people were animals. They didn't even deserve to live. They did some horrible experiments on them. They put them in boiling water, and then they would lift them out of boiling water and put them in ice water, because they were wondering how they would be able to take pain. They weren't even looked on as being human. The Nazis had their gloves and their lampshades made out of Jewish skin. They would take the Jews and they would skin them alive. How could anybody do that to another living being? The only way you can do something like that is if you're convinced that that person is not a human being at all. And these things were done, and they were done under the guise that the Jews were animals. And that's the same term that's being used here in the Old Testament in this section. He said, "The proud have digged pits for me. They look at me as though I'm nothing but an animal." And they are not following thy law. They look at me as though I'm dangerous. That's what you do with the dangerous animal. If you have an animal that's not dangerous, you don't worry about trapping them. You just go out there and grab them. But you don't do that with a lion or a tiger, or you lose an arm, maybe your life. And so this man was looked at as being extremely dangerous. And do you know why? Because he had the truth. And those who live by a lie are very much afraid of the truth. And anyone who dares to bring the truth out to them is a target. And so this man became a target. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Sin must be dealt with and lies must be exposed. They persecute me wrongfully. In the midst of this horrific time that this psalmist is going through and in this low point in his life, he has not gotten so low but what he recognizes the faithfulness of God. And that would be our hope tonight as a church and as a people, that no matter what happens in our lives, we would never question the faithfulness of God. And he doesn't. He said, all thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. I've done nothing to deserve this. And so, God, I'm leaving it in your hands. I have nowhere else to turn. I only have one place that I can look to, and I'm looking up. So help me. Verse 87 says, they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. They had almost consumed me. That means that they had almost eaten him up, or they'd almost burned him up. Either one of those would fit the wording of the Hebrew. Almost consumed me upon this earth. In other words, they almost ruined me and took my life, but I forsook not thy precepts. I am hanging on, and I'm hanging on because of you. I know the Word of God. And I know that as a child of God, those promises are mine. And that's the only thing that keeps me going from day to day. Quicken me. Verse 88, quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. The word quicken, and I've mentioned this a number of times, we've seen the word quicken here used maybe four or five times in this psalm already. And in each case, it speaks of life. Quicken me. Give me life. Turn things around for me. Help me to live so that I can tell others about you. Help me to live so that the truth that I have been expounding does not die with me. Help me to live so that I can turn and face that which you have for me and do it triumphantly. In spite of all of the difficulties that we see in the first part of this section, we already see the psalmist beginning to step out of the low point of his life. Quicken me. Give me life. Help me, Father. I don't want to die anymore. I want to live. And I want to live with you. And I want to live for you. And I want to work for you. There are so many things that need to be done in the world around us tonight. And we are so caught up in the things of the world and in our own personal lives. So many times we're living, but we're not living. We have life. God has promised us life. He's given us tremendous life. He's given us a life here, and He's given us a life in glory. But what are we doing with the life that we have? What are we doing? Are we living it for us, or are we living it for Him? Are we so busy serving self that we have no time to serve God? This man had sunk to a place where he was just exhausted from the persecution, from the hunting him and from the trapping of him and all of these things that come with the problems that he was facing. And yet he cried out, give me life. Give me life. Now he was still alive. So what did he mean? He meant, give me life. I'm breathing, but that's not enough. And it shouldn't be enough for any Christian. To just go through life breathing doesn't mean a thing unless we're doing something with this life for God. And that's what he wanted to do. He just wanted to live for God. If God took him home, that was great. But if God decided to leave him here, he wasn't content just to breathe, just to go through the motions of life. He wanted to do something, and he wanted to do it for God. And that's what we should be doing. We should be seeking God every day. God, it's not enough just to breathe. It's not enough just to carry on a job. It's not enough just to take care of the family. Yeah, these are all wonderful things, but God, I want a life. I want a life for you. I want to do everything I can for the cause of Christ while I can. And if we could just get that vision and that focus, what a church, what a people, what a family in Christ we would become. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. In the midst of all that this man had gone through, he appeals to the love and the kindness of God. I have heard men curse God because things weren't going well. But this man didn't. No, in the midst of all that he had gone through, he appealed to God's love and God's kindness. He says, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Not my mouth, of thy mouth. I will keep the testimony of thy mouth. Lord, if you give me spiritual life, not just living in a physical sense, but give me a purpose and give me an opportunity to serve you on this earth, I will keep the testimony of your mouth. What's the testimony of God's mouth? The Word of God. The Word of God. He said, I've done everything I can to keep it. I will continue to keep it. I will live for you. I will serve you. And I'll die for you, if that's what it takes. But I will not just live. I want to live. I don't just want to breathe. I want to live with every fiber of my being and do what God wants me to do. There's a challenge for us tonight, isn't it? So next week, we'll pick up and we'll read the next 8 verses. And we'll begin to make our way out of this bottom and out of this low tide that the psalmist has entered into and is now making his way out of. So let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for this tremendous psalm, and it has so many different aspects of it. There's so much here for us to learn and to glean. And God, I just pray that you would be with us as we make our way through the rest of it, and week by week to learn something precious as we sit before you and as we look at this psalm about life. And Father, I just pray that as we now go to our prayer time, Lord, that you would bless our time in prayer, that you would bless this special time when we kneel before you and when we bring our petitions before you. And Father, we give you praise. We thank you with all of our heart for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.